Herzlich willkommen zu Auszeit, dem offiziellen Podcast der Bamberg Baskets, präsentiert von Franconia Design Studios. Lehnt euch zurück, gönnt euch eine Auszeit und taucht gemeinsam mit Sven Amon und Falk Stierkart in die Welt der Spieler ein. Tip off!
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Auszeit, der Podcast der Bamberg Baskets mit Sven Amon. Hallo Sven.
Hallo Falk.
Und mir, genau, ich bin der Falk. Und wir unterhalten uns jede Folge mit einem Spieler der aktuellen Mannschaft und sind ganz froh, dass wir jetzt nach so zwei, drei technischen Problemen, das ist immer der Audio, ist immer so eine Sache, mit dem Ron Siggo reden können. Hallo Ron.
Hallo. Yes.
Ron, du weißt, dass er jetzt besonders laut reden muss, dass man ihn besonders gut hören kann. Das knallt das vielleicht am Anfang noch ein bisschen rein.
Genau. So, what we will do, was wir jetzt machen werden, ist wieder aufs Englische switchen. Wir hatten es versucht, so ein bisschen auf Deutsch zu overvoicen, aber das klingt einfach so furchtbar, so dass wir uns bei allen, die jetzt kein Englisch sprechen, entschuldigen möchten. Aber der Ron spricht noch kein Deutsch. Ron, do you speak some German?
No, not at all.
Not one yet. Word.
Not yet.
Just one word?
Zum Beispiel.
Dankeschön.
Dankeschön. So you speak.
Yeah, well.
We might teach you something more in the podcast.
Okay.
So what's a good German word? Weihnachtsmarkt.
Um Gottes Willen.
Weihnachtsmarkt. Christmas market.
Weihnachtsmarkt.
Yeah, good. Have you been already at one of the Christmas markets of the region?
Oh, no, I haven't yet, but they've been telling me that it's some good ones in Nuremberg and in Bamberg, too. So I might go take a walk down there and go see the city a little bit, embrace the culture.
Yeah, that is correct. The German region, especially here, is very famous for the Christmas markets. And
right.
Especially the so-called Glühwein, which is a warm wine with a lot of sugar.
What is it called?
Glühwein.
Yeah, it's hot red wine.
Yeah. You can also have
makes,
it as white
makes you
wine.
Dizzy real fast.
when you're not trained.
Yeah, right now we locked in for the game on Monday.
Sven, have you already been at one Christmas market?
Not this year.
No. Okay.
Before, yes, sure. Of course.
Oh, you have already visited one in your life.
Yes. That's for sure. I'm old enough to be at the Weihnachtsmarkt in my life before.
Ron, you are from the US. How's it with Christmas markets over there? What's the tradition in between Black Friday and Christmas?
I think those are one of the most exciting times of the year. You know, everybody likes Christmas and, you know, Black Friday, everything is on sale. So everybody's at the store shopping, trying to get their Christmas shopping in. So it's a good time of the year.
You had a great deal on Black Friday?
No, yeah. I'm about to look. Hopefully I get some good deals.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for some shades, some glasses, and some perfume. I think that's what you guys said.
Yeah, and the glasses, you don't need glasses at this time of year.
Yeah, you know? I know. Bring come now.
Okay.
And you also have Christmas markets over there?
They do a little bit, like certain areas you can walk around and you know, they have all the little Santa Claus. You can bring like the little kids and, you know, they sit on Santa's lap and stuff like that and make a wish of what they want and stuff like that. It's like usually in the malls. You know, so back home is usually like in malls, they have like little carols and the whole mall is decorated and stuff like that. But I'm pretty sure it's completely different from here than there.
So you have to make your experiences here. Talking about wishes, what's your wish for the present season?
My wish for the present season is to ultimately just as a team get better every day. Just get better every day and win as much games as possible right now. That's our goal. That's my two goals with the team, is to improve each and one of us, to improve our individual play, and that can help the team win games and go forward every day, take day by day.
We were talking with Ibi at the Fan Talk about the percentage, how far we are away from getting it clicked
right
together.
Yeah.
How far do you think we are away from sticking together as a team and getting everything rolling?
I think it's like we one step away, just because like we play every game like because we like each other. One thing about this team, like we all like each other off the court and on the court. So I feel like it's only a matter of time before we start clicking. Because once like we make the connection, we all trying to help each other. There's nobody trying to like overstep nobody. So we're all trying to make the right play, make the right steps for us to win the game. So I think it's definitely like one step away. We're still getting familiar with each other, the plays, the coaches. But I think we're one step away, and we have shown it in tough games, you know, especially against Berlin. And we showed that we can definitely play at a high level. Even the games we lost, you know, we definitely showed that we can play with anybody. We just have to, you know, one step away, one possession away, one shot away, one stop away from, you know, putting it all together. And I think it's going to come through this after this break.
How difficult was it fighting through all those injuries with Philip and Carson being out at the start of the season, Noah being out with his shoulder, Brandon having problems with his finger.
Yeah.
Then Nick Dragan stepped in, Maceu came in. So a lot of, new situations. How difficult was that?
Yeah, I think it was kind of tough just because, like, in preseason, we had the whole team. So then towards the end of preseason, it just bodies started dropping. So it was like, oh, man. So we got preseason. We were just so used to playing with each other, or, like, we were getting used to playing with each other and knowing each other's tendencies. And then there were new faces, which is no problem. That's just, like, the game of basketball is injury, so that's just the game. So, like, we had to get familiar with that, acclimated, different roles, different faces. So it was kind of tough, but, you know, we make no excuses, and everybody have to show up. Like Coach said, one man goes down, next man stand up.
So what's always interesting, I think, is the way, the life way of the players, especially coming from overseas. You started playing basketball in Florida, then you went to Buffalo. Can you tell us a little bit about that pathway, and especially what's different between playing basketball in America and playing basketball here in Germany?
I was playing high school ball with my best friend, I consider my brother, in high school in Florida, in a little small, like a small, like private school, you would say. And then I ended up going to Buffalo, which that was a change for me. Ever since I went to Buffalo, I was far away from home, and it was cold up north, a lot of snow. So I was kind of familiar with just being away from home. So like being able to come overseas definitely was a change, but it wasn't too much of a change because I was already away from home. So I was a Florida kid from the sun straight to the snow for 4 years. So it was like, it was a change quick for me. So like playing in Buffalo was a good year, was some good years. My first year, didn't really play too much, but we was a really good team. And throughout my year at Buffalo, I continued to get better and better and better. And then I had a decision, tough decision to make to see if I wanted to go back to school to use my additional year. But ultimately, I had a good senior year, and like I just kind of went with my gut, rolled the dice out. I didn't want to go back to school. Honestly, I didn't feel like being in class no more. And I was just like, man, I'd rather just begin my pro career. And I was just a realistic person. If the NBA was there, it was there. But if not, I was okay with coming overseas. I just wanted to start a professional career and just keep climbing and keep improving myself and my career. So that's what happened.
But a major goal for American players, as I learned the last podcast, is the NBA, is it?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the NBA. But, you know, I'm not a naive person, you know. I know at the time I was small. I mean, you asked me, I have the most confidence. I definitely feel like I could play in the NBA, but I had to be realistic with myself. And I had a lot of workouts. I worked out with a lot of teams in the NBA. I even played summer league with the Grizzlies. And I did good, you know, just like, you know, it's a lot of politics and not stuff on that side that you can't control. But I came overseas. I went to Greece my first year, played second division in Greece, won MVP, embraced the overseas culture, and every year I just got better. I didn't really, I'm not one of the people that just really like to complain about the situation I am, just embrace that situation and just improve from there and keep moving up.
And how do you see the difference in popularity between of basketball between America and, for example, Germany?
For me or just in general?
In general.
I feel like, honestly, I feel like ever since I've been overseas, the overseas game has been on the rise. I don't know if it's just more TV or more like just more exposure to it, but I feel like the overseas game is growing, you know, like it's more like televised. People know about overseas now, you know, compared to like when I was younger and we had a lot of older cats like that were playing overseas back then. It wasn't really televised, but now like a lot of people televised. Like, for example, like Lonnie Walker came over here and went to Zagreus. You see him all over ESPN and he's playing overseas. So I feel like the overseas game is growing. So, like, I feel like it's going the right way and shit. My fault. I'd rather be here, you know. I'm embracing this path that I'm on. So, I'm liking where overseas is going right now.
We got to talk about your name, Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
Is there a special reason that your parents said, this kid's got to be named Ronaldo?
They were soccer fans.
Yeah, what's crazy is, like, a lot of people don't know, I started off playing soccer. That was my, like, first love. And I was really good. And then, like, soccer, like, in the States is completely different from overseas. So it's, like, kind of hard and very expensive. And my parents couldn't really afford it.
And why is that?
Like, you know, like, it was, like, to do tournaments cost, like, thousands of dollars and, like, training and stuff like that. So I couldn't really, like, my parents couldn't keep up with the payments. So I was, like, I'm going to just play basketball. But my dad name is Ronald. So I think my mom was just like Ronaldo, you know. So it was just easy like that.
Yeah, it can keep you the name of your child in mind. That's good.
Right. Like Rondo is...
Rondo's good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rajon Rondo.
Rondo, good names.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the thing with the soccer, because it's very interesting, the difference in Germany. Everybody, more or less, every child plays soccer once in a while. And why is that so difficult in America?
I just feel like watching, I used to watch soccer a lot, and how they play overseas, it's like, even from kids, like they're just more skilled. Like their IQ is just at a higher level for me than like kids in America. It's based off just athletes playing soccer in America. Like over here is technique, schemes.
Yeah.
I think the level of like IQ is different, because I used to really watch soccer a lot, and then I ended up playing back, like switching over to basketball. So I found this.
So who's your favorite soccer team?
It used to be Man U.
I mean, you're in Germany now and not so far away from Munich, so you should maybe visit a game of Bayern München.
Yes, that's my goal. Anybody on here that could get me some tickets to go to Bayern Munich soccer game, I want to go.
How about ASF zu Nürnberg?
Ach, komm schon.
Ja, ignore
the question. Ignore the question.
I definitely want to go to a game. That's my goal. Like, I haven't, ever since I've been overseas, I want to go to like a real big soccer game. Like,
go to Fürth. There is a really, really good team. we have some discrepancy here.
Yeah, jetzt wird's heftig.
But I think as a pro basketball player, you should be able to have some connections that will give you some tickets for the Bayern Munich. I guess so, Sven, don't you think?
Yeah, but it should be no problem to bring you to a game of Bayern Munich.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we're gonna get that.
It's interesting. It's a big court, and
I've seen it.
But soccer could be so boring.
that's absolutely correct compared to basketball, when you only have 24 seconds for to score. Soccer, you have 90 minutes not to score. So.
Whoa. Interesting rule.
Yeah. So tell us something more about your influences. I think every child playing soccer has some, I don't know, Thomas Müller or Ronaldo, who the person admires. What about you?
I used to like Ronaldo and Rooney.
Wayne Rooney
played for Man U. I used to like him a lot. Those are my two guys.
And who's your influence in basketball?
It's kind of tough because I take a lot of different things.
Oh, we have a good German one if you need a name.
Who's that?
I forgot the name. What was the name? He comes from the vicinity of Bamberg. Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, really? He's from Bamberg?
Vicinity. Not really from Bamberg, but from Franconia. Dirk Nowitzki.
He's from Würzburg.
Würzburg.
Oh, Bamberg, okay. Würzburg. It's somewhere, you know. Some Berg.
So this, we're at the same point, like talking about Bayern Munich and SF Nuremberg.
Right.
So Würzburg and Bamberg. Ich würde mich jetzt hier mal distanzieren.
So how is he seen in the States? For Germany, he's probably the most popular basketball player ever. So what do they think about him in the States, Dirk Nowitzki?
That he's one of the greats.
No question.
Self-explanatory. Yeah, I think he's definitely one of the greats, especially in Dallas, Texas. You know, I think if you mention Dallas as an NBA organization, you have to say Dirk Nowitzki.
Have you ever met him?
No, I never met him.
Has he ever gone to a Bamberg game, Sven?
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
So if he listens to the podcast, he might be invited.
I think he played already in Bros Arena with Würzburg.
Do he live in Germany?
Not yet anymore.
Yeah.
Well, he switched over to the United States and he played for Dallas at how many years? 21 years, something like that. Yeah, and he was stick with them and this is a great story.
So coming back to basketball, like to Bamberg basketball, how's it with the new coach? He's very young and he used to play in Bamberg. What's the difference between him and maybe some other coaches you had?
Obviously, the age difference. The two coaches I had previous years, like I had in Greece, was an older coach. He was really good too. I think he really taught me the European game. He taught me the schemes and what to do. And I was playing in Greece, and Greece is very technical. So he was really teaching me when to go fast, how to go fast, when to go slow, when to pass, when to shoot. He was teaching me a lot of those things. But to be honest, I think Coach Anton is probably one of the best coaches I had. I think my Serbian coaches, all three of them taught me a different thing. But I think overall, I think Coach Anton is just one of the best coaches I had in Europe so far. Not really. He definitely disciplines you, but then gives you a little bit of freedom to do what you want to do. Those other coaches was kind of really fun, which nothing against them because they helped me out a lot. But I think for sure Anton is just a player's coach. And so far, to me, he's been good.
You mentioned the age difference, which is not very high. I mean, he's as old as I am, I think. He's like 40 or so, which is very young for a coach. So is that sometimes, is it good or is it sometimes a problem or is it just nothing?
I feel like it's good. I feel like it's nothing. You know, he does it. He disciplines us when he needs to discipline us. He can, you know, he understands both sides because he played, you know, at a high level. And now he's coaching at a high level. So, like, I feel like he knows both ends of the sticks from a player's aspect. He kind of gets a feel for, you know, when we're up and when we're down, you know, and how to approach us. So I think it's definitely a good thing.
When you go on the internet and you Google Ronaldo Segu, you got a bunch of videos
all
showing this hesitation move. Where does this move come from?
It started as a kid. I was in the gym and I was just playing around, dribbling, you know, had my headphones in, and I just started doing it. You know, I don't think it was something like I put together. I just started going in, and then I just started doing it in the games. And at first, I didn't really know what I was doing until, like, somebody was recording me, and they was like, oh, my God. And then I was like, okay, let me keep trying it. And then it just became a move. But at first, I was just dribbling, you know, just stopping and going, like, you know, kind of how I played herky-jerky. And I just started doing it. And people were just realizing that, like, he's really making people jump and stuff like that. So then that's when I just kept with it. But I started doing that probably, like, freshman year, eighth grade.
But where's the
secret? Can you enlighten me?
That?
What move is it?
It's like a little hesitation, a little hezzy. That's what we call it.
Okay, I have to Google that.
Yeah,
aber sicher musst du das mal googeln. But what is the secret of the move? Is it just to see and realize the feet of your opponent?
I think it's more so of a feeling. Or, but you know, when I retire, I think that's when I'll give up the song. Right now, I
don't want to tell me the secrets. Oh, right, okay, can understand that.
All right. Ron, we are almost at the end of our podcast. Is there anything that you would like to mention, that you would like to kick out to especially our fans of Bamberg Baskets? Something you want to tell the world?
I would like to tell the fans, you know, keep supporting us, keep sticking by us, because we're one step away from bringing some greatness into Bamberg that is already had. So I think tell the friends that we're going to continue playing hard for them. I want them to continue coming out and support us on Sundays, because we're going to continue playing hard. We're going to continue building up the legacy that they already had and already had before us, so we'll keep it going.
So thank you very much. And I think at the beginning of the podcast, we wanted to teach you at least some new words in German. And now you know Weihnachtsmarkt and Glühwein, which are the words you would need for the next few weeks, the only ones. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sven.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Happy Christmas.
Sven.
Frohe
Weihnachten. Frohe Weihnachten.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Weihnachten is good, but frohe.
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 Frohe. Frohe Weihnachten.
Da müssen wir noch ein bisschen
ein Glühwein.
Frohe.
Frohe.
Sven, be patient.
Maybe you're changing the O in the R.
Frohe.
Frohe.
Meine Damen und Herren, freuen Sie sich auf unseren nächsten Podcast Deutsch mit den Bamberg Baskets. In diesem Sinne, Sven, wir hören uns wieder.
Ja.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Das war's für heute bei Auszeit, dem Podcast der Bamberg Baskets, präsentiert von Franconia Design Studios. Bleibt dran und verpasst keine Folge. Abonniert uns, damit ihr beim nächsten Tip-Off wieder dabei seid. Bis zur nächsten Auszeit und bis bald in der Arena.